for a few minutes and just thank God for the Holy Ghost. Mandra basoto robosia bakata rabasi. Ramba soto robosita rabaisabrati. Oh, shabakata rabasi. Oh, thank you for the fire. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the fire of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the driving force, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the life of God in us. Thank you, Lord. Man sabrate le mastamra di tarabai sabrate. Oh, shalabakata rabasibra hola masai. Mandra basoto robosibra andala baso. Oh, shabakata rabasi. Bransa, 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 bransa. Oh, shabakata rabasi. Oh, manse brele brele. Oh, shakata rabasi. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the fire of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shalabakatara. Bronste brendele bastaya. Irambandele le bastambra. Oh, starambandende le bastora. Baramba si brandola bashira. Mandrola sekere bastambra. Estarvala maso. Branste, 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 branste. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I know there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. But there are some good things going on too. Hallelujah. Please forgive me. I'm trying to think in English. Let me shift into English mode here. I just got back from Mexico City. We were in a town in central Mexico. And a group of pastors from around the nation got together, 60, 70-some pastors. And they're all young guys. I think I was the oldest. I'm 50. I'll be 51 this month. And the other man that was ministering in the conference was about 52 years old. But there's a young man there. That he's from Oaxaca, dark complected, short, has 7 services on Sunday in Lázaro Cárdenas, Michoacán, which is the place for La Familia drug cartel. They came into his church, and they shot up the church and took him. They took him, and they fled with him. Se lo llevaron. They took him. And somehow he worked a deal with them. And he paid 3 million pesos for his release. They let him go, and then they came back and got him again. But you know, he didn't leave. He's back. And I talked to him on the platform. I said, Josue, I hadn't seen you since last year we were, but I want to tell you that when we heard news, we began to pray for you. And Bob, you'll remember, we prayed in the prayer room for this young preacher. He can only fit 800 people in his church every service. And so they go from 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday until they finish their 7th service. Another young man from Cabo San Lucas was there. And he says that, you know, when you hang around the Holy Ghost, people will think you're crazy. And when you stand for the things of the Holy Ghost, people will think you're crazy. And when you continue to live and influenced and empowered by the Holy Ghost, people will think you're weird. People will think you're crazy. People will think that they'll speak evil of you. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And this young man from Cabo San Lucas, he said, we begin to call out to God. We begin to pray out to God. He said, we begin to pray out to God. And he said, I tried attending, he said, one of the ministerial alliances meetings, he said, and they sat me in the middle and tried to cast the devil out of me. He said, because we're radical, because we're, you know, if you believe the word nowadays, you're radical. If you believe in the Holy Ghost nowadays, you're radical. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm a radical. I'm a radical. Hallelujah. Right? I'm a radical. Soy un radical. I'm a radical. And he said, my people begin, we begin to, you know, things are happening. And I know, you know, things are happening all over the world. But, you know, I see it in Ciudad Victoria. Bobby and I would say there's something going on in the church when kids, they get out of their chairs, wherever they are in the auditorium, and they'll come up to the platform and dance before the Lord. And I'm telling you, they're sweating and their T-shirts are sticking to their bodies. And you know, they're sweating and they're jumping. And I'm telling you, they're not jumping, you know, just a little bit. I mean, these guys, you get tired just looking at them, you know, because they're going so fast. And you know, Bobby says, you know, I used to be able to do that. Said, yeah, we used to. There was a little old lady that was 105 years old, and so she'd run around the church building. And Bobby says she'd already been running around the church building 5 times, and I would reach over and say, Bobby, she's calling you out. You remember that? She's calling you out. But you know something? There are so many things. I heard about R.W. Shambach. I know he went on to be with the Lord here not long ago. But I heard a story about how he was ministering in a town. And this woman approached him, and she had a bag of chocolates. And I don't know if you've heard this story, but she had a bag of chocolates, and she said, I have a sister in an insane asylum, and I've tried to send her prayer cloths. I've tried to send her anointing oil. I've tried to send her books. I've tried to send her, and they will not give her anything, but I've learned that they will give her candy. He said, preacher, you put these candies in your pocket, and you preach the message tonight, and when you finish tonight, I'll come get them, and I'll send them. I'm going to believe God that God's going to deliver her from her mind. And so he said, man, I had put handkerchiefs in my pocket. I had put, I had put many things in my pocket. I had prayed for things, but never chocolates, he said. Never chocolates. But he said, I put them in my pocket and I begin to minister. I begin to preach. I begin to preach the gospel. I begin to preach. And she said, when I finished, that lady was there and said, give me my chocolates. And so she got her chocolates and she sent them to her sister. And 6 weeks later, he says, I was in another town. And this lady comes up and he says, you remember me? And he says, no, ma'am, refresh my memory. And she says, I'm the lady with the chocolates. Oh, he said, yeah, how could I forget you? And this is my sister. She is totally healed. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the anointing is powerful. Because the anointing is real. The anointing is real. The anointing is God's power to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Hallelujah. The anointing. So this young guy from Cabo San Lucas, he told me, Pastor, he said, they would come and bring crazy people to our doorstep of our church. He said, because they begin to hear that things were happening inside. And people were bringing bottled water. Well, it's hot there, you know. So people were bringing bottled water with them. They were all jumping and up and down at the altar. So he said, you'd see bottled waters all over. He said, and we begin to pray for the bottled waters. We begin to lay hands on them. He said, and these people begin to take them out to their homes, and sick people begin to drink the water, and they got healed. Hallelujah. Sick people, people that were crazy, people in the city that were known as wanderers, that were crazy, that were in a daze, they got delivered, and now they're home cell group leaders. Now they're preaching the gospel. Now, why? Because somebody was radical enough. Hallelujah. He wasn't limited. He wasn't limited. I'm telling you, there's no power in the glass, in this bottle, but I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of it, when God gets a hold of it, it's just a point of contact. And when God gets a hold of you, you're just a point of contact. Hallelujah. And anything can happen. Anything can happen. Hallelujah. Anything can happen. You know, we need each other. We need each other. I thank God for Steve Muse. He's in heaven. I think he went on before his time. He should have still been here. I can talk about it now because he's no longer here. But I remember the day he called me to his house to complain about Bobby Crowe. And I really believe that he was looking for somebody to side with him. And I told Ernie, you do not say nothing. You do not make one comment. You do not say one thing. And I believe that was the last time they had us over for lunch. And I lost a friend. But I gained a father. There were many missionaries. I think Bobby went the extra mile. That's his theme. Your dad has always gone the extra mile. That's where you and I need to go, the extra mile. We need each other. I was a pastor in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, fresh out of Bible school, fresh out of Brother Hagin's. 1 year. But as I'm sitting in Brother Hagin's faith library, and I hear him say, some of you will not be back for your second year because of circumstances in your local church. Ernie had been after me. Get your second year application. Get your second year. There was something inside of me. You know what it is? We need to get back down to the leading of the Holy Ghost. You know, we need to get back down to the leading of the Holy Ghost. We need to get back to when the Holy Ghost leads us. I really believe that God led you, Pastor Greg, because he led you there. Sometimes where God leads you, man, when the Lord asked me to leave Ciudad Victoria, I thought I was going to die in Ciudad Victoria. June the 6th of 2012 would have been 20 years that we worked with Bobby and Lynn. And God began to speak to Ernie and I. We're sitting on an airplane going from Harlingen, Texas to Colorado Springs. We were tired. How many of us preachers don't get tired? I know you're faith preachers, but you get tired. You will get tired. There will be a day when you will get tired. And there's nothing wrong with being tired. And so we're sitting in that airplane, and she just looks over at me and she says, Jerry, do you think that we will always pastor Palabra de Vida Church? And I turned and I said, no. I mean, it just came out. And she said, no. Because Bobby had called me and Jeremy and some other leaders from the church, and he told me, you will pastor Palabra de Vida Church until you decide that you no longer want to pastor Palabra de Vida Church. And he gave instructions to Jeremy and to others. He said, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not going to die, but I just want you guys to know what I'm going to do. We need each other. Steve Muse was the connection that connected me to Bobby Crowe. You know, David, he came to the forefront because he killed Goliath. I don't know if I'll get to read the reading in 2 Samuel. You can put it up there if you want to in 2 Samuel. I think the great majority of us here went to Sunday school. We know the story. And it says that David was out to war. And it came a point that he said that he waxed faint. He got tired. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He was where he was supposed to be. He was fighting a battle, and he says that he waxed faint. And then it says that there came a giant. See, David, I want you to listen to this. Hear this. We know that David killed who? We know that David killed Goliath. And because David killed Goliath, it brought him out to the forefront. It brought him out before Israel. It brought him out. He was already anointed. There was already a man in the kingdom. He was a king. It was Saul. And David respected him. David honored him. You know, even when Saul began to get jealous, you know, and begin, I thank God that, you know, that I was able to work with people that were not jealous. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, a lot of the people that we call rebellious because they left our church, it wasn't that they were rebellious. They were just following the plan of God, but you weren't spiritual enough to know that they had a call on their life, or you were jealous. And you caused them to take other action, to leave. And I'm not talking about doing things that are unethical. But I really believe that some pastors have tried to put people down, put their foot on them, and just keep them down and not release them. And David, he got tired. And he got tired. But you know what? Thank God for the time that David was in the La Cueva de Adulam. Adulam's, is it Adulam's cave? Where 400 of his family members came. And they were all, they were indebted. They were, they were, you know, probably depressed. I mean, if you're in debt, you're depressed. Right. You know, they were, they tenían espíritu de amargura. They had, their spirit was down. But you know what? David took them in that cave and he began to impart into them. And a lot of our churches, that's what they are. They are Adullam's cave, and people come out into our churches, and they got they're depressed, they're sick, they're indebted, they're all. But you know what? God has us there to raise people up, to raise people up, because we need people. And you know, when David got tired, when it says that he got tired, he said that one of his nephews stepped in and fought the giant and killed the giant. It was one of his nephews, one of his men that killed the giant. See, he killed that giant. We're going to need help. We're going to need help in the ministry. We're going to need help. We're going to need help. There'll come a time when you will need somebody. There'll come a time when you will need somebody. I thank God for James Rackley in Quintana Roo. You know James Rackley. James Rackley called me and he said, "Jerry, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it." But you know, when we were going through one of the darkest days in Mexico, when my daughter had the accident and that young lady got killed, James called me, and I know Ernie was reminding me last night, Pastor Bob called, and Greg called, and, you know, Gerald and them, they were praying for us. In one of the most darkest moments of your life, you need friends. You need people. I know, you know, what Pastor Greg was saying when he sat across the desk from Pastor Bob and took the Kleenex box. You know, you weren't used to doing that. People used to take the Kleenex, and you were on the other side of the desk, but now you're on this side. Well, Bobby and I did the same thing. Sometimes he was on one side, sometimes I was on the other. Yes. Either praying for our kids or for our family or for something. You need friends because when we get together, you preach to each other. You encourage each other. You lift each other up. You bless each other. Hallelujah. I remember when I first got to Victoria, I didn't have any money. And I know I've told this story before. I had the first 3-cylinder car in the world, and it was a 6-cylinder. But the 200-mile drive from Brownsville, Texas to Ciudad Victoria, the car overheated so much that three of the front spark plugs would drop out of the cylinder wall and they would be hanging by the spark plug wires. And when it was in high speed, it was all right. You couldn't tell. But when you got to a stop sign, it would go, you know, because it was only three cylinders working. And so, you know, what happened is that car, it had burnt valves. And because it burnt valves, it overheated in those cylinders. And because it overheated, it would just melt the screw that screwed into the cylinder wall of the spark plug, and it would dry out by itself. But you know, I remember something. I had a friend. And one day, Bobby says, Jerry, you need another car. Bad. Yeah. And you know what? He didn't just say, we're going to pray about it. He said, no. He said, I'm going to give you, I think it was $300, $400 a month so you can buy a new car.
Glory to God. Praise God.
See, sometimes friends, they need you when they need you. Yeah. Not when it's a good time for you. David needed that man or that giant. He said he had a 7-pound sword and he had a brand new sword and he was going to try it out. He was going, and can you imagine if he'd have killed David, the notoriety? Can you imagine what would have happened to that giant? He'd have become so big. You know, he killed the guy that killed Goliath. He killed David. He said that he killed the Lamb of Israel. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to put out the lamp of San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because as pastors, we're the lamp of the church. Yes. And the devil's waiting for that. We all have weaknesses, as we heard last night. We all have weaknesses, and the devil's just waiting for that one weak moment. But thank God that we have people that we can pray with in that time of weakness, and we can stand strong, and that we can believe God. And if any two shall agree on the earth as of touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. And sometimes there be times that we had to pray. There were times that we had to believe. There were times that we had to sow. And I remember Bobby saying, he'd call me every Sunday afternoon and he'd say, hey Jerry, we're going to go out to tacos. Bring your family. Man, he and Lynn and Jeremy and John David were four. Ernie and I and four girls, that's six. That's 10. And I didn't have the money. And so the first couple of times we went along, but then I talked to him. I said, Bobby, I'm sorry, but I don't feel right. You know, you paying all the time for my tacos. And believe me, that was a sacrifice because they were good. And he said something, son, if I have money, you have money. If I don't have money, you don't have money.
That's good.
And you know what? You know what that did to me?
Sure.
You know what that did to me? It caused a fire to come in me and said, I'm going to get blessed somehow because I'm going to be on the other end where I'm going to pay for the meal. I'm going to get to the place where I'm going to pay for the meal. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 50 years later. It was not very long that I was ready. Hallelujah. I was ready. And then I asked, Father, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to this man. Make me a blessing. And Ernie and I have determined to be a blessing every month to them. A blessing every month to them. It doesn't matter if I have to go through Ciudad Victoria to drop off the cash, or if I have to go see him in Brownsville to drop off the cash, or I have to do it in Fort Worth out in the parking lot like I did last night.
All right.
See, he's my pastor. I don't care if I'm not with him. I think I spend more time with him now than when I was there. Yes or no? You know, I could have been offended in Ciudad Victoria because they never invited me to eat lunch at their house because we were so busy. And then I wasn't there part of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we could have been upset. Oh, they never invite us to lunch at their house. No. And Lynn's a very good cook. Very good. But you know what? We need each other.
Yes, we do.
We need friends. I thank God for Gerald and Debbie. I thank God for Pastor Greg. And you may not have a lot. You don't need a lot of friends. I'm not asking you to go out there and, you know, try to round up friends. No. It'll be God. God will set you up. God will make a divine connection. God will make a divine connection with people. And I'm telling you, when I make a friend, I make a friend until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Because there are some friends that are dormant at a moment. But, you know, David didn't know this guy could kill a giant until the time came when he was tired. Can you imagine? David was tired in the battle, and this guy, he had his brand new sword, and he's about to come to kill David. And David is, he says he waxed faint. He was tired. But here come this guy, and he probably was young, too. It was a nephew. Thank God for nephews. Hallelujah. And this nephew stepped in, and I'm telling you, he killed that giant. But if we continue to read, it says that there was war again and David's men killed another giant. And it says that there was war again and David's men killed another giant. But in verse 22, it said that they killed, it says that David and his men killed all these giants. It said that they all killed them. So you know what? Bobby and I have killed a few giants. And we will continue to kill giants. Hallelujah. And we will continue. And when the rewards are being handed out, I don't care if you weren't the one that drew the sword and stuck the sword, but you will be counted as those that slay giants. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but God's calling us up to a higher place. God's calling us up to a higher place. God is calling us up to a higher place. The Lord said, John G. Lake, He's had me go back and read this book of John G. Lake, his life, his message, his sermons. John G. Lake was not afraid of anything. He would stand toe-to-toe with the witch doctors in Africa, and he said, I wanted my eye to catch his eye. He said, I wanted my eye, the Holy Ghost in me. He said, because it's the Spirit of God that looks out through your eyes into the situations. Hallelujah. I wanted the Holy Ghost to lock on to that devil. I wanted the Holy Ghost to lock on to that problem. I wanted the Holy Ghost through my eyes to lock on to that conflict. I wanted the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, brother and sister, you're bigger inside than you are on the outside. You're greater on the inside than you are on the outside. God, the greater one, is living inside of you. And he said he would lock on. He talks about things that we've heard. Oh, the Holy Ghost, he's been dealing with me about some things. He said, I was preaching the other morning. I didn't have a place to go preach, so I called this pastor who's having trouble. And I said, I'm free. You want me to come help you? And I told him, I don't need an offering. I don't want an offering. I just want to come help you. Can I come help you? And he said, yes. He said, yeah. And I sat down to have coffee with him, and he was very discouraged. He was very discouraged. He didn't have many people in his church. And so just begin to get an IV and set it in his arm. You know?
Yeah.
And then we'd drink a cup of coffee and, change the IV bag. Because he's really drained. I tell him, you just got to, I'm telling you, brother, you don't have to be the most eloquent preacher, which I'm not.
Right.
I'm not a Bible teacher either. I'm a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost and fire.
You're a
and I'll listen to Keith Johnson, and I'll perfect it, and I can preach it with fire. Yeah, because that's my gifting. That's where I need to operate. I don't need to be like anybody else. I don't need to be like anybody else. I'm not in competition with anybody else. There is an anointing upon my life. There is an anointing upon my life. And I've found that when I stay in that anointing, things happen. When I stay in that anointing, things happen. When you walk in that anointing will increase. Do not grow weary in doing right. No os canséis de hacer bien. Do not grow weary in doing good. Because in due season, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And I'm telling you, David, he was probably, man, I'm telling you, I'm sure David was fighting that giant off, but he was tired. But don't you know he was so glad when his nephew showed up? And he said, like in Nacho Libre, he says, Nacho, you know, tag. What was that guy's name? The Skeleto, toca la mano, you know, touch the hand, you know, it's time. We need to know when to touch the hand of somebody. And he says, okay, I'm ready. And you can take a breather, drink a glass of water, and watch him beat the pulp out of him. Yeah, but you know what? When they declare the winner, you know who's going to be the winner? The tag team. Hallelujah. We defeated them. We killed giants. You know, we killed giants. He may not have killed any, but I was with them when they killed him. So we killed giants. We killed giants. Say that with me. We killed giants. We killed giants. We kill giants. We kill giants. We kill giants. I'm telling you, it'll always be that you're outnumbered. It'll always be that you're not big enough. It'll always be that you don't have enough. You know, Bobby gave me this book. I'm going to start reading it again, but it's Reinhard Bonnke's, that huge book on fire. Man, Ernie got after me so many nights. I couldn't put it down. I was reading it. And I would say, Lord, why did you let him build a tent if he wasn't going to be able to use it? One time he used it and then it's no good. And I said, why did you let him? Why didn't? He said, because I had to work on his faith. He had to believe me to go to there. And when that was not sufficient, he had to go on to the next level. That's why God will have you go through faith challenges. Because you're setting up for bigger things. You're setting up for bigger things. And we never keep. You know what was one of the problems with this missionary that went on before? He would tell me, I'm tired of believing God for everything. I'm tired of believing God for everything. I'm tired of having to believe God for everything. I'm tired of having to believe. You know what? As long as we're on the earth, we will. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we are not of those that draw back unto perdition. We are not. We are not of those that draw back. We don't. In Mexico, we have a saying, you don't even draw back to gain momentum. En español dice, para atrás ni para agarrar vuelo. When you get to heaven, you'll understand that one. No, it said, we don't even draw back to get momentum to charge as a believer. We don't draw back. We don't draw back. And can you imagine David? Last year, God put in Ernie and I's heart to call this group of pastors that we pastor. There's one in in Uruguay. There's one in Colombia. And then there's the rest are scattered around Mexico. And so we rented this 400-year-old mine. It's a hotel now in the state of Hidalgo. Beautiful gardens, beautiful place. Some of you might have seen some pictures on Facebook. But 20 men and their wives came to this place, and we speak into their lives. We spend time with them in their homes. Many of them had said, Pastor, he said, when you come to our home, he said, and you stay with us and you minister in our church, he said, when you leave, it's like I had an IV, he said, running through my veins all the time. He said, and when you leave, I'm ready to do the work again. Pastors don't have anybody to talk to. Pastors don't have anybody to share. They can't tell their members, and many times they can't tell anybody else in their city because that guy's trying to get you to put your lamp out so that he can take your members. I have a friend in Oklahoma City, Jose Mejia, and he says, Brother, I don't have anybody to talk to in Oklahoma City. And so many times when I crossed the border, the Holy Ghost would say, call Jose Mejia and encourage him. Call Jose Mejia. I've got some here. Call Jose Mejia and encourage him. And I would call him. And he said, you know, he said, one day I told him, Brother, you need to get away from your church. I will pay your hotel room. I'll feed you in Mexico. This is before all the trouble started. If you'll just come and sit in these meetings, Avivamiento Hoy, Revival Now, in Mexico. I said, you need to come. He said, I can't. I'm too busy. I can't. So I called him again because God kept impressing. Call him again. And so I called him again. And he said, I can't. And I said, and so I just, the Holy Ghost didn't tell me this part, but I did it. And I think it was the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. He said, I told him, you know what? I'm going to take you off my mailing list. I only had 38 people then. So. One roll of stamps, I could do two mailing letters, two mailing lists, you know? That's just the way it is. I mean, we just believe God. I think now we have 97, Bobby. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I still can get away with one roll of 100 stamps. But you know what? It's supernatural. Because Ernie and I shouldn't travel where we go. Ernie and I shouldn't live where we live. Ernie and I shouldn't do what we do. Ernie and I shouldn't eat what we eat. Ernie and I, our girls shouldn't drive what they drive. Our kids, our grandchildren shouldn't dress the way they do. But they do! Because their grandpa got the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, my oldest grandson, I drove into town and he told my daughter, he said, Grandpa, is he here? And he said, yeah, he's here. He's coming to the house. He said, can I go with him? And she says, why? Because my grandpa's rich. Because my grandpa's rich. And so he gets in the car with me. He ties his safety belt on. And his other little brother, he can hardly, he's 3 years old. He's five. And he's six now. But he says, Grandpa, you still got that $100 bill I saw in your wallet? There was a reason for him wanting to go with Grandpa. There was 100 reasons he wanted to go with me. It was $100 bill. But you know what? He knows where the blessing is. He knows where the blessing is. And that's what God's called us. He's called us out to be a blessing. He's called us out to be different. He's called us out to be full of fire. He's called us out to mark a difference. He's called us out to be different. So we're having this meeting in this hotel, and God visited us. The theme was, they thought I was going to preach to them all the time. The theme was, come away to a tranquil place and rest. Preachers need to learn to rest. Pastors need to learn to rest. I told you that Bobby told me he was going to take me fishing one time when I went to Victoria. And I was sitting in the bathroom thinking about Lake Guerrero and those huge bass that are there because my son-in-law fishes there. And I thought, Bobby said he was going to take me fishing, but that was 15 years ago. 15 years had come and gone.
Oh, we're still going.
We're still going to go. See, though it tarry,
wait for it.
But you know, we're having this meeting, Pastor Bob. The pastors were all over the floor just being ministered to and just weeping in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost just touching them. And so we left there, and I had the pastor from Salamanca take the pastor from Uruguay, and he was going to do a three-day meeting in his church. We wanted to bless him before he left Mexico. And so it's Saturday night. We're in Pachuca Hidalgo at another pastor's home. And I get a phone call about 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's Pastor Domingo Santos. And he says, Pastor, Miguel's having a heart attack. I'm at the hospital right now. He says, I need you to talk to the doctor. And the doctor gets on the line and he starts telling me all of these procedures that have to be done on him. And he's telling me figures in pesos. I thought later, I mean, what in the world? Why are you telling me money right now? This guy's losing his life. And I said, Luis, I said, begin to pray. I said, like never before, I needed supernatural wisdom. I needed wisdom to know what to do because a man's life was now in my hands. And Domingo was saying, what do I do, Pastor? What do I do? I said, get him to the hospital. And while I'm praying, I'm telling you, you know, like John Osteen, he was in his office and he said, God, give me the supernatural gift. God, give me the healings. God, give me the revelation gifts. And God stopped him and said, hey, if I give them to you right now, who are you going to use them on in this office? There was nobody there. But I'm telling you, when God's going to give you the stuff, when you need it, when he's going to give you the revelation, when you need it, when he's going to give you the wisdom, when you need it, when he's going to give you the power, when you need it, when he's going to give you the things you need, when you need it, not any time later. It won't be before and it won't be later. It'll be right on time. And so I'm praying, and this name comes up, Felipe del Castillo. He's a preacher from León, Guanajuato. And the doctor, in all that he told me, he said, we got to move him to León. They have a specialty hospital there. He was in a smaller town. We have to transfer him immediately. We've already controlled his blood pressure, but we need to move him. And so I get this, just came right out of here. The Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Man, I'm telling you, under pressure, the Holy Ghost will come out. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, call Felipe del Castillo. He has a medical doctor in his church. I don't know that. I have no idea if he does or not. But the Holy Ghost said, call him. So we called Felipe del Castillo. And he said, yeah, I got a medical doctor. I'll have him. I'll call him right now. And I'm telling you, brother, I'm telling you, Felipe just preached for us in Ciudad Victoria for once or twice that he came to the church on a midweek service because he was close by. And that man, Felipe, he stayed up with Domingo and calling him every hour, hour and a half, checking on him to see how things were going. That's a friend. And I was able to personally thank him at this meeting of young pastors because he was one of the speakers. And I said, I want to personally thank you for helping me. I said, we saved a man's life. They caught it in time and were able to do the procedure. But let me tell you, this man from Uruguay had no money on him. We're helping him every month. Ernie and I are sowing into their lives because the church has just taken off 2 years ago. They're hard workers. They started one in Rivera, Uruguay, and then started another church 250 kilometers away at Paso de los Toros, and they have brand new converts. Healings have brought in the Catholic people. Healings have brought them in. And I'm telling you, it's a Holy Ghost church. It's a Holy Ghost church. It's a church full of the Holy Ghost. And this pastor is full of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, the bill came to 140,000 pesos. Which is close to $12,000. Ernie and I, some of these men support us on a monthly basis in Mexico, and so they had brought us offerings. And Ernie and I took everything they brought us, and we put it in an envelope, and we said, Domingo, I'm sending you this, and if you need more, call me. I'll see what we can do. If we need to, you know, the good old American Express will work. I have one from World Missions Outreach that I've been wanting to use that belongs to Bobby Crow. You know, for years, up until 2 weeks ago, for more than 20 years, I carried an American Express that he paid for every year for World Missions Outreach. And, you know, I never once used it for anything unless he called me. It didn't matter if I was in a bind. It didn't matter if I was having financial difficulty. It was not my card. It was not my card. It belonged to my pastor. And if he called me and he said, pick this material up because we need it for the church, and that's why he gave me the card, so that I could pay for it with the card. Yet there were others that abused the card, and he had to pay for it. I went on vacation and ran short of money and just got the World Missions Outreach card and continued on with their vacation.
Well, they had a good time.
They had a good time. But you know what? They're not there anymore, and we still are. They're not there anymore, and we still are. They're not there anymore. So, you know, what blessed me so much, and I'll be, you know, ending with this. 140,000 pesos, I was thinking, man, I had just had to pay an extra $3,000 at the hotel because there was an error by the accountant. And the figure that he told me. In Mexico, brothers and sisters, there is no, the customer is always right. You know, they don't know that policy. The customer is always right is only strictly in the United States of America. And I think it's fading too. And so we had sold our furniture because we had moved from Ciudad Victoria, and we had sold our furniture from our house. Some of it we gave away. There was too many things to carry back across the border, and Ernie sold some pieces of furniture. And so we had that $3,000 in a bank ATM card in Mexico. And so I said, Ernie, get out the ATM card, because we're going to pay for this pastor's conference. And we paid for the pastor's conference. I didn't go to the pastor and say, you know what, brother, I'm sorry, but I told you it was only 4,600 pesos you had to pay, but now you're going to have to pay another 750 per person.
Wow.
No. No. My pastor taught me that we pick up the bill, and God will always make it up.
Amen.
You know what blessed me? I didn't call these men to ask him for offerings. I sent one message to a guy that I know he's got a small church 25 miles from where Pastor Bobby's at, and they have a prayer chain going 24 hours. I said, we need prayer right now. And I said, Joel, Miguel's having a heart attack. We need to pray. And that's all I said. Please pray. I sent him a text. All these pastors from around Mexico starting calling Domingo, said, I need your bank account number. And they started sending money. And we all sent money. And do you know what? 2 days later, Miguel walked out of the hospital completely well. completely well, as if nothing had happened. And the bill was paid for, 140,000 pesos was paid for in full. And you know what? What blessed me the most is that I know pastors in Mexico that are complaining, we don't have any money, we can't do this, we can't go there. And these guys, nobody called them to ask them for an offering, but because we have taken time to teach the Word of God, you know what? We've taken people and we've mentored them. I didn't go into the nations. It wasn't until Bobby Crow took me to Thailand and the Philippines. It wasn't until then that the world opened up, and now we're going into Brazil, into Uruguay, into Colombia, and into all of Latin America and across the world. You know why? Because I got associated with a man, because I have a friend. Friends will take you places, and that's in both the negative and the positive. Yes, they will. You know, remember when Saul, he had to go. You know, there are some places that we as pastors need to go by ourselves. You know, 3 years ago, God sent me a young man from Oaxaca. He's a powerful preacher. He was the director of Rhema Bible Training Center in Mexico City. And Victor Rodriguez, he's a fireball preacher. And so we worked together. And so we moved him from Ciudad Victoria to Matamoros, to the border town across from Brownsville. And we travel out of there together. And he sent him 3 years ago to serve me. And so he'll grab my Bible and he'll grab my stuff and he'll open my door and stuff. And I mean, you know, I'm not used to that stuff. You know? And I said, Victor, I can carry my own Bible. He said, no, Pastor, that's what I'm here for. We need people. We need people around us. And like I said, it may not be 5, 10, 15 friends. It might be one or two that you can call on. I'll pick up the phone and I'll call Gerald. And I said, Gerald, I got to make this decision financially. What do you think? I'll call Pastor Greg Moore and I tell him, Pastor, they're offering me this opportunity on a house. What do you think I should do? He said, in the multitude of counsel, is safety, is wisdom. You know, you can take counsel from people.
Yeah. Yes.
When we were going to make this move from Ciudad Victoria, we didn't just get up and do it. We took counsel. I talked to Pastor Greg. I talked to Pastor Gerald. And I talked to Pastor Bobby. And then he said, this is how we're going to do it. And he said, we're going to announce it 6 months before you leave. Because if I just got up and left, people would think, well, what happened? Something happened. Something's not right here. But you know, he got up and we got up together. And then for the next 6 months, people saw us just as we always were, standing next to each other on the platform, hugging each other and laughing and cutting up on the platform with each other. And you know, and you know, the people were just, it was hard. It was the most, like, you know, Gray said, you sometimes feel depressed. Because for the first time in January, when January rolled around, I didn't have a place to preach. I mean, per se, because I preached every Sunday, every Tuesday night for almost 19 years, 19 and a half years. But when God begins to lead you, it isn't always easy to take those steps. We had to sell our home that we believe God and that Bobby helped me build. We had to sell things. We had to get rid of things. But you know what? It was for a greater cause. It was because God's got some things set up. There's been meetings. There's been citywide crusades inside of me for many years in Mexico. The gift of the evangelist in Mexico is not an operation. People have to come in from other countries to do, you know, crusades. But there's no Mexicans, you know. But I believe. I believe what you said this morning about souls, millions of souls. And I'll tell you something. Andrew Womack. Yeah. Those are good friends.
Yes, they are. Good man.
I got a word from God because God had spoken to my heart. It was in my heart. Every time I read these, well, that's why I couldn't put Reinhard Bonnke's book down. Because there's that same spirit is in here. And Andrew says, Jerry, I got a word for you. He said, I got a word for you. And the Lord had told me, you're going to go from coast to coast and from border to border. I thought it was just Mexico, Pastor Don. I thought it was just Mexico because I had determined, like Caleb, give me this mountain. And I had limited God to just Mexico. I had limited God to just Mexico. And and Andrew Womack said, he said, by the Spirit of God, he said, I see you. He didn't know that 3 hours before in a room I had sat with Bobby and Lynn and told them what was in my heart. And the very same exact words that I said to Bobby and Lynn, I see myself. I see myself running from coast to coast and from border to border. That was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 7:30 in the evening, Andrew calls me up and he says, I got a word for you. He said, Jerry, I see you. He said, I see you. I see you running from coast to coast and from border to border. And he said the next thing, and I've not shared this with a lot of people. But some people will say, hey. Well, it's because they didn't say it to you. But they said it to me. And I am the one that has to hold on to that word. He said, your name will be known, he said, in the country as the name of Billy Graham is known in the United States. And I'm holding on to that word because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because in John G. Lake's writings, the angel that visited him, he said, read the book of Acts. That was the instructions that he gave. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. Read. Remember when we started the prayer meetings in the early morning? Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. Reread the book of Acts. Pray. Teach your people to pray. Pray. And the angel said to him, because the only thing that will meet the needs of mankind is a outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The only thing that will meet the needs of mankind will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is present, there will be healings, there will be deliverance, there will be all that God has poured out upon us. And we must come up. The Bible, the Word of God is calling us up. The Spirit of God is calling us up to come up higher to a place where we won't be intimidated, where we won't be afraid, because the fire of God is in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm hungrier than I was last year.
My God.
And brothers and sisters, I come to tell you something, and do not be offended. But this two or three songs and announcements and a video and then a 30-minute preaching is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. Nicolás Duarte was telling me they were in a meeting in Mexico City. And they got in the meeting, Pastor Don. And he said they lost track of time. And when they left the meeting, it had been 15 hours. And they were drunk in the Holy Ghost. And power of God was being manifest in the place. I'm telling you, the Spirit is being poured out. Wherever there's a hungry heart, wherever there's a hungry soul, it doesn't matter what city, it doesn't matter what nation. I really believe today that the Holy Ghost is bored. Are you boring the Holy Ghost? Are you boring the Holy Ghost? Is he bored? Because he's calling us out to do things. He's calling us out. Man, I got stirred up when John G. Lake said, they brought me a prayer request. And I read it about a woman who was in Wales in an insane asylum. And I was 10,000 miles away in Africa. And I couldn't go there. He said, but I knelt down and I began to pray. And a shaft of light opened up to heaven. He said, and I saw myself going. He said, I saw myself traveling. And there it was, 700 miles away. From Africa. Then I went through the Bay of Biscayne. He said, and then I went through the coast of France. He said, and then you'll know things in the spirit that you don't know in the natural. You'll know things in the spirit that you don't know in the natural. And he said, and all of a sudden I came to the hills. He said, they looked like South Dakota, North Dakota. He said, of Wales. He said, and I found myself. He said, in this building, and I saw the knob on the door. He said it was a 16th century knob. He said, and I knew it was at the insane asylum. He said, and I walked in. I'm telling you, brother and sister, this is all by the Spirit of God. This is all by the Spirit of God. This is not science fiction. This is not something that what's his name wrote, made a movie out of it. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost. And he said, I saw myself in front of this lady laying in a cot. Her ankles were tied. Her knees were tied. Around her breast was a strap. And her neck was going like this. And she was crazy. She was insane. She said, but I put my hand on her head. I put my hand on her head. And the life of God came in her. And he said, and she opened her eyes. And he said, I could see intelligence. You know, when the devil's got a hold of somebody, you can see they're completely spaced out. But when you know there's life in there, you can see life. You can see life. And he said, I don't remember the trip back. He said, because all I knew, I was on my knees praying and uttering these words. He said, 6 weeks later, we get a letter from Wales that the doctors at this sanatorium had said that this is one of those strange cases. One of those strange cases that happens once in a very long while where this person will just come back to their complete mind. And they released her and she went on to be with her relatives and she was completely delivered. Well, you and I know what happened. You and I know what happened. You and I know what happened. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is calling us. Pastors, the Holy Ghost is calling us. There are some supernatural things, and I'm not talking about weird things. I'm not talking about weird things. I'm talking about being in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about, he said he got a letter from Iowa from this lady, and this man who was a teacher in the university had to give up his teaching job at the university because he got tuberculosis and he was dying. And this mother was in Africa and they were almost 7,000 miles away. And he said, I knelt on my knees. He said, and all of a sudden he said, I'm in Iowa. He said, and I walked into this house. You know what? Jesus walked into a place and didn't have to open the door. When we go by the Spirit, you don't have to open the door. You don't have to get a coach seat either. You don't have to get a first class ticket. You're gone. You know, he said, brother, where is this in the Bible? You know that Philip was preaching a revival in Samaria? You know that Philip, he was preaching, the whole town was on its knees. The sorcerers were on their knees. Everybody in the town was being healed, delivered, and everything. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he says, go to the road that descends from Jerusalem. Vete al camino que desciende de Jerusalén a Gaza. Yeah. Go to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. You know what? He could have argued, Father, man, we're having a revival here. What do you mean leave? We're having a move of God. Can't you see the city is bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can't you see? But God, he said, he sent an angel. He said, go down to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he went down and he obeyed. Say, obey. 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 God's calling us to obey. God's calling us to obey. He's calling us to obey. You know, I thought about that guy, brother, that he wrote a check for $1 million. God told him to give him. Well, God told him to give it. Whether the pastor said who has $1,000 or not, he should have given that million because God told him to give it. He went back the next day and gave it, yeah. Then he had to give him $1,000,000. You obey. You obey when God says, give your truck away. Give it away. Do it. And I'm telling you, let it burn your hands to get it off of you. You know, just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Let me tell you what happened. I'll close. I'm sorry that I took this long. I'm sitting in Mérida, Yucatán, 3 weeks after this guy had the heart attack. We've paid for everything. And I'm sitting with a pastor that we're pastoring in Mérida, Yucatán, and he's telling me, Pastor, I feel so bad. I didn't tell him. Somebody must have told him. I feel so bad that you gave all your money. He said, you gave all that you had. He said, and then he told me, now you don't have a church. Because when you had a church, when you were at church, people would always come by and give you a Pentecostal handshake.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I got a lot of those at Palabra de Vida. We taught the people well. But I'm sitting at this taco stand just listening to him, and all of a sudden my BlackBerry goes, dee dee. And I open it up, and there's an email from a man who hadn't given us an offering in 1 year. And he says, Pastor, my wife and I were praying. That's Holy Ghost. Pastor, my wife and I were praying. That's Holy Ghost. Can I please have your account number? We need to make a deposit. I didn't have to go to the house to get my number. You see this? I've got it laminated. It's laminated. I can fall in the water and this will be alive. HSBC Bank. HSBC. 6127. I'm not going to read the rest. But I got it with me. I got my BlackBerry out and I said, God bless you. Multiply unto you seed sown. In the name of Jesus, I cover you and your wife with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I thank you for being obedient to the Holy Ghost. And that was it. And I told the pastor, Pastor, I may not have a church to go to every Sunday, but I still have the source. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And you know what? You know what? It was almost twice. It was more than twice what I put in for the operation. And you know what? First thing I did was get 110% out and go visit my pastor.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
I love those visits.
Yes. We need each other. We need each other. Because there'll come a time when you get tired. And that thing may come to kill you, to stamp out the light of Israel, to stamp out. He said, David's men got an agreement and said, no more. You're not going out to war with us anymore, lest they stamp out the candle of Israel. And his nephew came in. And when you read the rest of that scripture, you see that they went again to war with the Philistines. And then they went again to war with the Philistines. And it names all of these giants. But David only killed Goliath. But in verse 22, it says that David and his men killed all these giants. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we stand together, we're a force to be reckoned with. When we stand together, God is with us. Hallelujah. One can put, 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And we don't have to be in the same town. There is no distance in the Spirit of God. We don't have to be in the same town. There is no distance in the Spirit of God. We can be praying, hallelujah. We can be lifting each other up. We can be praying and lifting each other up. I'm telling you, the day that we confronted those things in the highway, when those men told me you can't go through, and there was a battlefield, there was trucks all shot up, there was machine gun clips on the highway, and these trucks with big old metal plates coming up the front windshields, and men with armed machine guns, and they said, you can't go, you got to turn around. I'm telling you, it don't take me twice to turn around. I was too long to turn around. I turned around, and as I was going probably 100 miles an hour. That Honda Pilot will go 100 miles an hour easy. It will. And it won't. My Yukon would go at 100. It would go. It would die down. Because I had one guy following me one time in my Yukon, and he had a F-350 Ford, and he was right on my windshield. And I just looked up, and I didn't know who he was, and so I floored it. I wasn't going to stop to see who he was. But you know what? I stepped on a spike. Because they threw them out on the highway to blow your tires. And when I saw them, I could not stop. I was going too fast. All I heard was like that. And the light on my dashboard on the front passenger tire went on, that it was losing pressure. And I said, I cannot have a flat right here. I cannot have a flat right here. I'm right in the middle of these two bands that have been fighting. I cannot. You know, I'll drive this thing on a rim, but I cannot have a flat right here. And you know, from right in here, this spirit of faith, now I know what it was, but I didn't know then. I'm telling you, I was scared. I was scared. But as I was scared, I'm telling you, what was coming out of me was not, I'm scared. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear him and protects them. And I commanded that tire, and I commanded it. I said, you will not lose your tire pressure in the name of Jesus until I can get to a place where it can be repaired. In the name of Jesus, you will not lose your tire pressure. And I'm telling you, Pastor Don, I drove for 20 minutes on that tire, and it did not blow. It did not lose its tire pressure. When I stopped in this little town, this guy didn't even have one of these automated machines. He took it off, and all you could hear was, you know, that's what you could hear. He took it off, and brother, you could put this part of your finger into the middle part of the thread of my tire. And that guy with two crowbars and a hammer, I wasn't worried that he was going to mess up my sensor on my tire. I just wanted my tire fixed, put it back on, and head back to Ciudad Victoria. And he fixed my tire, and I got back on that truck, and I went back to Ciudad Victoria. When I got there, Gerald Garcia called. And he said, brother, I've been praying for you this morning. I said, brother, I needed it. In another time zone in South America, Pastor Miguel from Uruguay, he calls me that night. He said, we were coming back from Brazil with some people in the car. And he said, I stopped the car on the side of the road. And he said, I don't know what's happening to Pastor Gerardo, but we need to pray right now. He said, and we got out of the car and we began to pray in Brazil. I'm telling you, there is no distance in the Holy Ghost. There is no distance. You will save somebody's life way across the world. You will talk life into the life of a person across the ocean. You will cross the paths of people you've never seen in countries you've never been by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, if you're hungry for this, I'm going to ask you to come out of your seats. I just want to lay hands on you this morning, and let's activate the Holy Ghost. Let's activate these things that begin to happen in us. Oh, there are things that God wants to do. There are things that God wants to bring about. I'm telling you, the Lord has been talking to me about. He said, listen to me when I tell you to call somebody. Pastor Bob, he said, listen to me when I tell you to call somebody.
Yes, yes.
Just like you didn't know his phone number was unlisted.
Yeah.
But God said, call him. And you called him. And it was his salvation. It was his lifesaver. Because you obeyed, God made a way to have his phone listed for a couple of moments. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's things that God wants to give you. There are things that God wants to put in your hands. There are buildings that God wants to give you. There are monies that God wants to give you. Bobby and I were talking, and Bobby's always, like he said, always been building. But he had the idea of that trailer. Because we went to a meeting, and it was pathetic. The sound was pathetic. The lights were pathetic. Everything. I mean, you know. And they said it was for the glory of God. And so we got back to the church, and he began to design, and he began to think, and he began to do this and do the other. And so Jeremy got on there and on the internet, went and bought at Walmart, went and bought a tractor trailer rig, you know, one of those toy ones. And he put the decals on the side and everything. And then we took pictures of it. And then this guy calls me. He said, Pastor, what's going on at the church? He hadn't been to church. He's a businessman, travels all over the world. What's going on? I said, Pastor Bobby's got an idea how to evangelize with a trailer. And we're going to have a generator in it. And we're going to have chairs on it. We're going to have platform and lighting. And it'll be self-contained. And we're going to move it from city to city. We're going to move it from state to state. We're going to preach the gospel. And people are going to get saved. He said, I like that. Come see me in my office. So the next day, Pastor Bobby and I went to his office. And we took the pictures. And he said, okay. He said, here's what I can do. I can give you $500,000 pesos. 500,000 pesos. Which is about $45,000 to do it. Bobby says, did he say he's going to give us $45,000? I said, yeah. He said, wow, that was fast. You know what? We didn't have to push, pry. We didn't have to beg. We didn't have to do nothing. All I had to do was call this person because the Holy Ghost said, call him. And the Spirit of God has been dealing with me in these days. And he's been telling me, he said, obey me when I tell you to do something. Don't think it's because you're in trouble that you're calling this person. No, if I put it in your heart to call somebody, do it as quickly as possible. If I tell you to go stand somewhere, you go stand there, even if you look like a fool. If I tell you to do this, you do it, even if it's contrary to everything you've heard or seen or known, because the Holy Ghost is going to set you up for a supernatural manifestation of His power. Hallelujah! The power of God. Being rasta kola mashangara baso ramba terebese. Oh, Pastor. Shakabasaya. 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 The Holy Ghost. Oh, Samana. You'll begin to hear things. You'll begin to see things. You'll begin to hear things. Oh, your lamp's not out. It's shining bright. Oh, shakabasai, shakabasai. Oh, shakoloa, rende te abasata, ri mo. Oh, there's been an increase on the authority in your life. It's just going to increase, right? It's just going to increase. It's just going to increase. Increase. Sakata brase. Ramba televaso, riama saya, shakamanda, shikemende, rende levasai, oh, pastar, prastura, prantikiti de bastanda levaso, oh, sakabasi, rambasi, oh, shakabasi, oh, pasta, prandele gay gayo, shakamanda davasi, rehe, 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 rehe. Shatala, Monse, Inda, Aista, Opretela, Icastanda, oh, Ekande, Ekande le Masai, oh, Socorra, Sikira, Sekende le Masai, oh, ah, Yako, Lembrando, 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 Lembrando. Lembrando, 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 Seeing things by the Holy Ghost, knowing things by the Holy Ghost. Sakabasi. Oh, sakabase. Sakabase. Sakabase, Mark. Oh, Holy Ghost encounter. Holy Ghost move.
I'm gonna get Holy what Ghost I came move. Here for. Bashe. The Bashe. Holy Ghost. Dawn and fire. Bashe. I'm gonna get Bashe. What I came here for. The Holy Ghost, joy and fire. I'm gonna get what I came Holy here Ghost. For. The Holy Ghost, joy and fire. I'm gonna get.